Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Here he is, Mr. College Basketball. Nobody. Not Seth Davis, not Clark Kellogg, not Dickie Vital. We could go right on
Charles
down the line.
Charles Barkley.
We could go on and on and on. Not Jay Billis. Nobody knows more college basketball than the great John Rothstein. This man knows the 10th player on, Southern Illinois, the Salukis. I'm sure he does. You can give me the starting lineup. Don't bother doing it now.
Quinnipiac.
Right. I mean, you're all over it. Susquehanna. I mean, you're in. he's salivating to tell me the team. Don't even start. Don't even go there. We know you know. But the great John Rothstein is here.
Guys, happy holidays.
There you go.
Because this is March.
Happy holidays.
This is truly, truly March now. And John, you can see him on TV on the CBS Sports Network. I tried to avoid you last night because I didn't want to hear the nicknames for the regions.
Right. You didn't do them on the TV, did you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you did them already?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure.
Absolutely.
Okay. I saw you. I saw Swin Cash was standing there. I saw
Wally.
Wally was there.
Right.
Zucker.
And Zucker, right.
Right.
That's our crew.
That was the crew.
And we'll be on all day, every day for the rest of the way. We'll be on 4 hours tonight.
And you've got the podcast, the SI. What's the official name? SI CBS College Hoops Today podcast.
Yeah.
I just nail it?
Yeah, College Hoops, College Basketball Insider for CBS, Sports Illustrated, and the I also host the College Hoops Today podcast.
And how many hours of sleep do you get for the next 3.5 weeks?
I hope for 5 a night.
That's not bad if you get that. Jeez.
Like last night, I'd say I went probably about 1:30 to 6:30.
It's not bad.
That's
not terrible. You can function on 5. 4 is a little tougher.
Now, before we get to all of the different regions, your brackets, schools you like, schools you hate, what your nickname, let's start off locally. We'll start off with the Johnnies.
Right.
Not a surprise to you, after everything that happened to Oregon winning the Pac-12, that St. John's was in and was in by the skin of their teeth and have to play
the
in
final
this play-in
team
game.
I had 68 teams on a piece of paper yesterday getting ready for the selection show, trying to forecast who was going to go where. And 67 of them came to fruition.
Really?
I had TCU in instead of Belmont. That was the one that shocked me. You know, I don't really have a big problem with how the tournament was seeded. I felt all along that 3 ACC teams should have been number one seeds. That came to fruition. I thought if Tennessee beat Auburn on Sunday, they would have been the 4th number one seed. But don't really have any major gripes with the way things were seeded.
So you expected St. John's in? Did you expect them in that?
Yes. I expected St. John's and Dayton.
Okay. Do you like that matchup against Arizona State?
I'm taking
State?
Arizona State.
You are?
I just don't. I mean, I don't see in the last couple of weeks why there's any reason why we can trust St. John's. Arizona State, in some ways, is similar in terms of the matchup, but they've got big wins this year. They've beaten Mississippi State. They've beaten Utah State. They've beaten Kansas when they were number one in the country. They beat Washington, who's in an 8-9 game. And, obviously St. John's, and I've said this, time and time again on this station and on other forums, had the talent, obviously, to overwhelm some teams when they were at their best. But Arizona State has players. Lugan Stort, their freshman guard, is a bona fide NBA prospect. They've also got, some really good, young players. Tayshaun Cherry, obviously, Romello White inside. But the guy right now I think that I would be afraid of if I was St. John's is Zylan Cheatham. Zylan Cheatham is the type of player that may not get drafted but could make an NBA roster, transfer from San Diego State, versatile forward, an all-star caliber glue guy that can get, a 10-10 and 5 steals type game.
Mm. All right. When you look at that matchup, I'm going to put you on the spot here because I like both these guys.
Yep.
I like both of them.
Yeah.
You got two high-profile head coaches in this game. You got Chris Mullin and Bobby Hurley. Who's the better coach?
Well, I still think, Joe, when you look at it right now, Bobby Hurley is much more proven as a coach than Chris. This is the third time Hurley.
He was at Buffalo. He kind of got the Buffalo.
I mean, Bobby Hurley, this is the third time.
No,
I
understand.
Bobby Hurley is quickly becoming somebody who is, regularly synonymous with the NCAA tournament. He went to an NCAA tournament at Buffalo.
Right.
And he's been 2 years in a row at Arizona State.
Right.
I mean, Arizona State right now is not known, with all due respect to the Sun Devils athletic program, for getting regularly in the NCAA tournament. No. And look, I don't care if they're starting out in Dayton. In some ways, guys, for programs that aren't always in the NCAA tournament, like a St. John's, like an Arizona State, like a Belmont who's going to play Temple, I think it's sometimes better to play in these games because it's a standalone game. Everybody's watching. It's like playing in a Final Four.
No.
I think that's what I think.
It's like it's a playing game.
But everybody watches.
It's better than not being in it, though.
That's what I don't know. I think it's not a playing game. It's the first four. You can't call it the playing game.
John, you could call it whatever the heck.
It's a standalone game. It's not four TVs on it.
Tell me if you agree with this or not, Ev.
Yeah.
They added these games so they can make more money. I mean, come on. I mean, that's why they got money.
This is what I think.
Am I wrong here?
No, of course.
This is what I think. I think
that's why they got the games.
I think people felt that the tournament was probably a little bit too tight at 64 teams.
Tight.
And now 68 probably feels too much.
How 64, 68? Come on. You know, I love baseball, and Joe and I both love the wild card game. It was a great invention. But
I don't want any more than that.
That doesn't feel like a playoff game
either.
Not. And that's a standalone game, and that's a winner take all.
Yeah.
And we've seen the Yankees in it three times, the Mets in it once. And I said this about the Yankees. I said it about the Mets. I'm going to say this about St. John's. You lose that game, it's like you're not in the tournament.
I would agree.
It feels that way. And I think the NCAA is the same way.
St. John's has to win this game. In my mind, if St. John's does not at least win this game, then this year was a complete failure.
Well, I said last week.
I
said last. Well, I this is the tough thing. This is where the seesaw effect comes in. Because it's a positive for St. John's that they made the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
There's a positive.
Okay.
But like I said to you when I was here on Friday, guys, this is a team that should have won 12 or 13 Big East games, and they won 8.
Well, that's why, Joe, you asked the question. I'll answer it. I certainly don't know as much as John does about this, and you know these guys better. But I can just say this from my perch here. It's not even close. Hurley and Mullen?
Yeah, no, you're right.
Are you kidding?
No,
First of all, I'll use your own words to answer that.
No, it's 100%. That's why I agree with that, but I'm throwing it. That's why I want to hear what he said.
I have great respect for Chris Mullen as a player in college, NBA.
Right.
I love
Bobby, too.
Sure, and I love that Mullen took this job. I really did. It was a great challenge for him. This has not been good. I'm sorry. This needed to be you said it.
They got to make a run here, John.
Yeah, and they're in a play-in game.
You think about, obviously, what's happened from the play-in game in past years, and this is what people need to remember. 2011, VCU, play-in game, Final Four.
Right.
2014, Tennessee, play-in game, Sweet 16.
Absolutely.
So, this can be a springboard for teams. USC a couple years ago beats Providence.
Wasn't
beats
Syracuse
SMU.
In the play-in and they got to the Sweet 16?
Yes. Same thing.
Oh, no, that part I completely agree with. We were talking about this earlier.
Now, another thing in this dynamic that's interesting, this isn't as New York related, but if Arizona State wins, Bobby Hurley will be coaching against his old school and his old assistant, Nate Oates, at Buffalo.
That's another interesting
thing to think about. I expect Arizona State to win the game.
Okay.
I don't think it's a coincidence that they set it up that way. I think the committee loves finding
Richard Pitino
like
against
that.
Louisville.
How about that? I saw it. I thought that was tremendous.
Of course.
That was great.
Good theater in the NCAA tournament.
Now they know what they're doing with that stuff.
But to your point about St. John's, and look, they have a
Kentucky Seton Hall in the second round?
Yeah, after their great game at Madison Square Garden earlier this year. We know what St. John's is capable of. Sure, Shamari Ponds is a tremendous player. They haven't won more than two straight games in the Big East schedule.
No, this is the thing. You know, it happens when you get to the NCAA tournament. You have a scenario now where, for all intents and purposes, every team you play is going to be capable. So just like St. John's has players, Arizona State has players. Lugans Dort is a guy that, you know, is on higher on draft boards right now than Shamari Ponds. Romello White's a player who can score down low. And I think, the guy that, again, I think really has a chance to shine is Zylan Cheatham. Cheatham, to me, is a player who's a Swiss Army knife type of player. You know, I don't want to use the word. I don't really have the comparison down yet for him, Evan. You know, I'm always a comparison guy.
It's my
favorite. But a utility, big-time athlete, he's the guy that would be able to defend at a high level in the NBA. I mean, he averaged 12, 10, and 3. And I mean, that's pretty impressive.
Who has a better shot to knock off Buffalo?
Arizona State. I have Arizona State winning two games.
Really?
Okay.
Well, I got Arizona State winning two games. And, you know, I think, too, if you're Arizona State, if you're the Pac-12, there should be a real sense of urgency to prove yourself nationally. Because last year the Pac-12 didn't win one game in the NCAA tournament. This year they have three teams in, Washington, Oregon, and Arizona State. And keep this in mind. Washington does not have a victory. I know they're in an 8-9 game with Utah State. They don't have a victory over an at-large team in the field.
Wow.
The only team they've beaten in the field is Oregon, who is not an at-large team. They got the automatic bid.
Right. And they got a 12 seed as an automatic bid.
Not good if you're Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Not good if you're Wisconsin.
That's a tough 12-5
think about
matchup.
The defensive teams in that region. Virginia, Tennessee, Cincinnati, Oregon, Wisconsin, St. Mary's, Purdue. That's why it's the region of grind.
Oh, that's what it's called?
Region of grind.
That is the South region.
Of grind.
Region of
you
grind.
You want me to tell you what I named it?
What?
I named it the region of revenge.
Why revenge?
Virginia.
I'm going to tell you why. Starts with Virginia. Yeah. They're looking for revenge, the ultimate revenge of being the team that was embarrassed by losing to a 16 seed the year before. I believe that will be the story of this tournament.
I don't know if that tells the whole story for the region.
Of course
though.
It doesn't, John. Of course it doesn't. Did I say it did? I told you how I did it. I looked at the bracket, first reaction.
We got to reel your partner in here.
He's doing fine.
I gave you my first reaction.
I do think Virginia's making a big run here.
I got him in the Final Four.
When you think of Virginia, what do you think about? You think about the revenge.
I think of Ralph Sampson is what I think of.
All right, well.
That's me.
So now St. John's is playing in the West region, but think about some of the players in this region. Ja Morant, Shamari Ponds, the Martin twins, Jared Culver, Lugans Dort, obviously Marcus Howard, Ja Morant, Tyus Battle. That's why it's the region of sizzle.
You know what I called it?
What?
The region of local, all right? You got Fairleigh Dickinson. You got Syracuse, who claims they're New York's team. And you got St. John's.
The region of sizzle.
The region of local.
Sizzle.
Sizzle.
Who do you got coming out of that region?
Michigan.
You have Michigan as a 2 seed winning that region, getting back to the Final Four again.
And then up top, we have the region of prospects.
Well, that's kind of what I call it, basically, John.
Well, that's everybody. That's the Duke starting lineup. Is the
right now.
I mean,
now.
Nobody from Yale is that big of a prospect, apparently. Or
now,
Liberty.
Now, I looked at the other.
Doesn't Yale have one guy that's like an NBA player?
Mieone.
Yeah.
Mieone. But I look at this region. LSU has Naz Reid. Obviously, Mieone at Yale.
Though.
Well, we're going to get to that. And you have Maryland with Bruno Fernando, Virginia with Nikhil Alexander Walker. It's the region of prospects.
All right. So you've given us the East region, the West region.
And you got Duke winning that region, right?
Yeah.
you thought about it for a second. I mean,
I will say that, I don't want to give away. I don't know what you're
going to do. Don't give away too much because we still got a lot to get to with the locals and Seton Hall your nickname for the Midwest region. In fact, we'll come right back. I want to ask you about this matchup for Seton Hall. They're in the 7-10 game. They also came within a shot of winning the Big East tournament. So we'll get into Seton Hall. We'll get into Fairleigh Dickinson. We'll get into some surprise teams to watch. There's a lot to talk about with John Rothstein. He'll be with us until 12 o'clock this afternoon. Your feeling on the draw Seton Hall got, 10-7 matchup
against
Wofford.
Difficult game. Wofford's a team that Ben Allen, the head coach of Mississippi State, told me could win 2 NCAA tournament games. An elite offensive team. The guy on Wofford that you want to put in bold print right now is a player by the name of Fletcher McGee. Made 151 three-point shots this year. He is not J.J. Redick, but remember when J.J. Redick was at Duke, how well he moved without the ball?
Yeah.
This guy moves without the ball like J.J. Redick. They've got 3 elite shooters. Fletcher McGee, Storm Murphy, and also Nathan Hoover. These players are all over 40% from 3. Seton Hall's defense is going to have to be tight. It's going to have to be succinct. I think, though, one thing to look at is this. The success that Seton Hall has had defensively against Marcus Howard.
Wow, I could, even made
could,
that comment.
Yeah, could, yeah. Could
makes
play,
me feel smarter right now.
Could play a big role in this game. You know, Hoover, Murphy, McGee, all exceptional three-point shooters. I got to think Quincy McKnight's defense is going to play a big role in this basketball game.
Who wins?
I have Seton Hall marching on. Willard makes more adjustments than a chiropractor.
Okay. Oh, wow, look at that. Boy, you're all over this, man.
What has changed for Seton Hall? Because, you know, you look at the St. John's game we talked about earlier where they were down 25-4. The Georgetown game, they played a lot better, but they did lose in double overtime. It felt to me at least like they had their backs to the wall. Maybe they didn't, but they've played so much better recently. Beat Marquette twice, beat Villanova. Obviously, almost beat Villanova again. To you, what's been the biggest difference since the St. John's game?
They answered the bell against Villanova and Marquette, but I also, and you guys know how I'm on this, you know, all year round. Other than recruiting, the second most important part of, I think, you know, running a program is scheduling. And Kevin Willard, despite losing the 4 starters from last year, put together a schedule where he got his team some confidence early. By beating Kentucky and Maryland, it gave the Seton Hall team confidence. And I honestly think, even though they won the games against Marquette and Villanova, there wasn't as much pressure on them because they already had some equity built up for the start of the season. Now, I think they would have gotten in if they would have won just one of those two games.
Right.
But I think it changed the dynamic. And also, look, Miles Powell is the best scorer that Kevin Willard's ever coached. And on top of that, he is the type of player that is an all-time college player, like Scotty Reynolds was at Villanova, in that class where you don't really know about the next level necessarily, but it's just, you know, an all-time college scorer.
What would have been the difference? And I was listening to the committee say that there really weren't that many differences as far as teams winning. Like Michigan State moved up the two line.
Right.
That's all that would have happened or happened.
This is one thing, too, I want to point out, Ev, because everybody goes crazy. Michigan State should have had a higher seed.
Right.
Your whole body of work is taken into account when you get your seed. Michigan State lost to Indiana twice and lost to Illinois. Those three teams aren't in the bracket.
Right.
That's all taken into account. Like, why was Arizona State in the first four? Because they lost to Washington State. They lost to Utah. They lost to Princeton. They lost to Vanderbilt.
Well, Michigan,
now, what I'm saying, though, is bad losses count, too.
Michigan State, though, is the number one two seed, right? Aren't they the lead two? Aren't they the fifth team in the country?
Yeah.
They moved them to Duke, yeah.
They moved up based on their success in the conference tournament. That's what I'm curious about with Seton Hall. If that Miles Powell shot goes down, where are they? Are they in the 8-9 game? Which to me wouldn't have been that big of a difference.
Yeah, I don't think it's that big of a difference. I think, actually, if you think about it, with all due respect to Wofford, even though they're a great basketball team, you're playing a team from the SoCon in your first game. And then, you know, I mean, if you play Kentucky, it's like playing a one seed anyway.
Right, a team that they beat, but nevertheless, I think that almost makes it more difficult.
Different Kentucky team now.
Sure.
Do you think it
makes it more difficult when you beat a team already earlier?
Well, I think, you know, Kentucky will be, you know, foaming at the mouth for that game if it comes.
I would think
foaming
so.
Foaming at the mouth.
I would agree with that.
Foaming at the mouth.
Sure.
I'd have a hard time believing that Kentucky isn't going to at least get to a regional final.
So do you,
in the region of pace.
Do you?
That is the region of pace.
North Carolina, Auburn, Iowa State, Houston, Kentucky. It's great pacing. Set the tone by North Carolina, the region of pace.
So do you,
the Midwest region.
Do you like, do you think, because I remember back to the Gonzaga 6-11 matchup in 2016. Do you think this is a good draw for Seton Hall? Average? Bad? How would you define this draw that they just got?
I think Seton Hall has to reflect on some of the same defensive principles they used to beat Marquette. Quincy McKnight's defense is going to play a big role in this game.
No, you're not answering the question. Is this a good thing or a bad thing? This the draw that they got. Is it a good draw, bad draw?
Well, you think
draw?
They're going to beat Wofford, right?
I have been beating Wofford.
It's
not going to be – once you get past your first game,
right?
If you're not a super high seed, you're going to have a juggernaut in the second round.
No, I get that. I guess I mean more just Wofford because – look,
Wofford is a more favorable physical draw than the Gonzaga matchup was.
Okay.
All right.
And they have won 20 in a row, but you know, I look at who they beat. Who the hell did they beat?
They
I know they lost
in
a lot of good
teams.
They didn't
win 20 in a row in the ACC.
Yeah, they dominated their league.
Oh, which is good for them.
Which is fine.
That's great. This ain't their league.
No.
I'm just saying. I'm just pointing it out. I'm not trying to be arrogant.
I'm just telling you, though, right now, the offense that this team runs is crisp. It's succinct. I was at a clinic once at the University of Florida that Billy Donovan and Larry Shiat, you know, put on. You know, Mike Young was there. I mean, a unbelievable offensive coach. In fact, there's people who are scouts in the NBA who have told me that if Mike Young ever wanted to leave college for the NBA, he could be an offensive coordinator.
Hmm. Wow. Interesting.
Interesting. All right, now, FDU and Prairie View. Is FDU going to win this playing game at least?
I've got Horrenda marching on to Salt Lake City.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay. How good is this Prairie View team?
I mean, they're in the 16 first four.
No, but I understand. But I mean, so, I think FDU should see they're on a level at Fairleigh Dickinson.
FDU should win the game.
Okay.
And, you know, I think I see Horrenda matching up with Gonzaga.
How about Iona? You give him any shot?
No.
No None. Shot?
No.
Who of the 15s and 16s? Because we've had 15s
I mean, just think about this. I mean,
yes.
You know the way, you know, Tim Klus would love to play. I mean, he's been a breakneck coach for whoever. I understand he had to tweak some things for some personnel this year. But, I mean, if you think about the way North Carolina plays.
Yeah, you're playing
plays,
North Carolina in the region of pace in which they are the pace. Right.
Nobody sets the
they are the pace
so
setter.
Nobody sets the pace like Roy Williams with that secondary break. And that's the team that we'll get to that later.
Well, but okay. Is there, we've seen 15s beat two. They're rare. We obviously saw our first 16 beat a one. I doubt you're going to tell me Gardner Webb is beating Virginia, which would be hilarious if they got knocked out 2 years in a row. But if you had to pick a 15 or a 16, I'll make it easier by including the 15s, that can bust a bracket, who has the best chance to do it?
I'll give you two. I would say out of the matchups right now, I would go with Colgate or Montana. Colgate, an outstanding three-point shooting team, have a transfer from Northwestern, Rapalos Avanaskis, a transfer from Northwestern who's a really versatile player, can
you
shoot
the
basketball.
Flawlessly, by the way.
Years of practice. And then Montana against Michigan is an interesting one. I love teams this year, guys, at the mid-major level that have high major transfers, guys who have started out. Travis DeCuire, the head coach at Montana, who was nearly the head coach of Cal when Mike Montgomery retired. They almost hired him at Cal before they hired Konzo Martin as the head coach of Montana. Really good young coach. He's got three high major transfers. Donovan Dorsey from Washington, Kendall Manuel from Oregon State, and also Ahmad Rory from Oregon. So these guys are not going to be intimidated by the bigger stage. So I'm not picking those teams to win, but I would say looking at right now the 215s and the 116s, that's what I would give you.
All right, so right now, again, we got John Rothstein with us. So we got just to review here right now. So you got Duke winning in their region, right? Tell me, stop. You got Virginia winning in their region.
Yep, the region, right? Of grinds,
right? Okay, the grind region, whatever you want to call
grind
it.
Grind region.
In the West, who do you got winning in the West?
The region of sizzle, Michigan.
That's right, Michigan. Okay, but you did not give it. So you got Carolina coming out of the Midwest?
North Carolina.
All right. So there you go. So we're going to have three number ones and a two.
Yes.
In the final four.
By the way, and I made this comment earlier, because, and you talked about this on Friday, how it's a very soft bubble.
Yes.
Right? Do you think because of that, that it's more likely, and obviously you're going to believe in your bracket,
yep,
but is it more likely that we see a bracket of final four teams looking similar to that? Because over the last 5 years, and it's sort of incredible, over the yep last 5 years, there's been at least one team in the final four, seven seed or higher. Now, sometimes the seven seed is Kentucky. Right? That 1 year where they were a seven
right
seed and made
State
a run. I get it. Seven Michigan State. But then last year we had Loyola Chicago. Do you think that is less likelier to happen because
there's
of the
heavyweights
difference
here?
Yes.
There's heavyweights right now in this NCAA tournament. And that's something that we didn't have last year or the year before. Not that, you know, we didn't have great teams. Villanova was a great team, but there wasn't as many. This year, and I think everybody would agree, the three ACC teams are the best teams in college basketball. Kentucky and Tennessee are legitimate teams, Michigan and Michigan State. But I do think there are areas here when you look at the bracket where some double-digit mid-major teams, because of certain dynamics, are going to have chances to pull upsets. And, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing those come to fruition.
Give me a team that is not you got the three ones and a two. So yep, give me a team that is below the two line that you can see getting to the final four.
Florida State.
That's, well, you mentioned that
Florida
already.
State to me, again, you know, okay, is
and
a team.
A four, right?
A Florida four. State. You know, Leonard Hamilton's team,
right,
you
right
know, dominated Virginia last week in the ACC tournament. They've got, I think, you know, over five guys that are back from last year's team that reached the Elite Eight, lost to Michigan, and they also beat Gonzaga last year in the Sweet 16. The West region last year was Gonzaga, Florida State, Michigan, and Texas A&M. If things hold up seed-wise, it could be Gonzaga, Florida State, Texas Tech, and Michigan. You don't see that all the time.
Mm. Yeah.
I know you probably don't care about point spreads, so you don't have to comment on this. Mm. I just want to tell you that, and I think, Joe, you do this too, when you see spreads, some of them jump out at you
yes
a little bit.
Yep.
So I'll give you one for an example.
You got to look at that more than the seeds, for sure.
I'll give you a great example of that, Joe.
Go ahead.
Wisconsin-Oregon, it's a 5-12 matchup.
Right.
It's a pick 'em.
Yeah.
According to the spreads,
right,
it's a pick 'em.
I got the Ducks.
You got the Ducks.
So you're basically
the
agreeing with that. Should Oregon have been a better seed than
they
a 12?
They weren't. You know, it's tough because they were not projected to be in the bracket when they won the Pac-12
right
tournament. And I've said this, you know, the last couple of weeks. Dana Altman has just pretty much outcoached everybody in his league the last couple of weeks. They lose Bol Bol, potential lottery
yeah
pick.
Bol Bol.
They reconfigure their lineup. They start using Lewis King, you know, who played for a great high school coach here at Hudson Catholic, Nick Marinello, as kind of a small ball four, and make Kenny Wooten their primary, you know, shot blocker at the five. They got a Final Four point guard in Peyton Pritchard, who was on the team. Remember when they went to the Final Four a couple of years ago? This is a team that is peaking at the right time. And look, their defense has been ridiculous. They've held Washington under 50 twice.
Mm, that's impressive.
And Wisconsin, as you know, has struggled to score. Now, I think another team to watch, and I'm waiting on word from Bruce Weber about this regarding Dean Wade, but Kansas State, who's had a great year in the Big 12, takes on a team in UC Irvine.
Can I just say one thing before you continue?
Go ahead.
That was going to be the next game I was going to bring up based squarely on the number. It's a very low number for a 13-4 matchup. And I was going to say, hey,
what's the number there?
It's only 5.5 for a 13-4 matchup.
Now,
so Continue.
All right. Russ Turner took UC Irvine to the NCAA tournament in 2015. I will say this. You know, I've been all over the country seeing, you know, a bunch of practices. This guy runs as good of a practice as any mid-major. I'm not, you know, going down on mid-major coaches, but, you know, he seemed like a high-major coach when I was in the practice with the way the practice was run at Irvine. He had a team in 2015 with Mamadou Ndiaye, who was 7'5", 7'6", who nearly beat Louisville. He told me yesterday this team is better than that team. Mm. Kansas State could be a little banged up. And if you remember, this is the second time that Kansas State won a share of the Big 12 regular season title.
Right,
they also
right.
won in 2013.
Right. First time Kansas didn't win it in 14 years.
That year, Joe, in 2013, Kansas State lost its first game in the NCAA tournament to LaSalle. And this Irvine team has got a really good offensive player in Max Hazard. 87 made threes, and also a great defensive player in Jonathan Galloway. Russell Turner could be one of the breakout coaching stars in this NCAA tournament, former assistant in the NBA under Mike Montgomery with the Golden State Warriors.
You like that upset.
I want to go to Villanova, all right? They're playing St. Mary's. They got a 6 seed. I thought they should have been higher, but that's fine. Can they do anything in this tournament or no?
They can. I mean, if it's a difficult matchup for simply because, you know, it's going to be like going to the dentist for Jay Wright. I mean, St. Mary's, you know, Randy Bennett, a mastermind of a coach. Look at what he did against Gonzaga. And St. Mary's has already beaten Villanova in a big spot in the NCAA tournament. That happened 9 years ago when Villanova was knocked off in the second round. I've got Villanova winning a game and then bowing out against Purdue.
Okay. We got more with John Rothstein. A couple of things I'll throw at you when we come back. Some of the players to keep an eye on that I know Knick fans may be keeping an eye on.
And I've got a big upset for you guys in the region of prospects.
Uh-oh. Oh, and a big upset region in the region of prospects.
That's the Duke region.
And it's somewhat local, so you'll enjoy that.
Zion Invitational.
Yeah, right.
John, deliver us on the big upset that you see happening here in the NCAA tournament.
Well, I think one of the things that, you know, is really being overshadowed is the fact that LSU doesn't have their coach. Now, we spent a lot of time talking about, you know, what went wrong for Duke.
And they went out in the first game of their conference tournament.
Well, I mean, this is the factor now. With regardless of everything that's happened, you know, at LSU with, you know, Will Wade not being available, the guy did coach LSU to an SEC regular season title. And since he's been out right now for LSU, they've won one game against a team in Vanderbilt that didn't win a game in the SEC, and they lost to Florida, and I felt they unraveled down the stretch. One of the things that's really changed the last couple of years is the caliber of player in the Ivy League. Yale has a player in Miye Oni who is a bona fide NBA prospect. Yale has a coach in James Jones that led the Bulldogs to an NCAA tournament win a couple years ago against Baylor. Mm-hmm. Yale's top four scorers are juniors and seniors. I don't like right now all the dysfunction around the LSU program. Regardless of what you think about what's going on there with the optics, they're moving forward without a great basketball coach. I just don't like the optics. They're a different team without Will Wade.
You got a high seed, too, 3.
I've got Yale beating LSU.
That's a big one, 3-14 upset.
Yeah, I've got Yale beating LSU.
And that doesn't have a big spread either. That's only 7.5.
Yeah.
Tell me more about the NBA prospect from Yale. What's his deal?
Miye Oni, big physical wing, obviously very comfortable scoring the basketball. You know, he's not going to really be, I think, really shied away from playing at the highest level. And he looks like a, you know, he looks like a pro physically.
How
looks
big
like
is
a
he?
Pro. He's big. He's got good size. I mean, he's a bona fide wing. I think the guy, too, that's going to be big in this game is Alex Copeland, the point guard. I mean, Yale's a team that, again, has big-time offensive potential. I mean, Miye Oni, Alex Copeland, I mean, this is a team that averaged 81 points a game. I mean, Oni's got good size. He's got broad shoulders. He's a legit 6'6".
The 12-5 matchup between Marquette and Murray State, I think, has a lot of attention around here, not just because Marquette's in the Big East, but John Morant.
Right,
we've heard his name a lot.
Yeah.
Going to be a lottery pick, going to be maybe top three, top four. Very well could be a Nick. If Joe is right about not winning the lottery.
They're not winning a lottery.
Okay, then there's a good chance John Morant may be on your team. Give me a I see so much of blank in Ja Morant.
You know, it's tough.
Damian Lillard? No?
He's different.
Okay.
He's different, you know, in a lot of different ways, I think, just because of his athleticism. From an athleticism standpoint, and he is not this guy, so I'm not comparing this guy. As an athlete, he's like Westbrook.
Oh,
wow. But you know what he is? He's a high-level distributor.
The numbers are crazy on this guy. Guys, he averaged like 10 assists a game, didn't he?
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
You think he's going to be a superstar at the NBA level?
He has the potential to be. I mean,
if you're saying Westbrook.
I think. Well, no, I didn't compare him to Russell Westbrook. I just said athleticism.
Did I hear Westbrook?
I said athleticism.
But he prefaced it by saying he's not Westbrook.
All right. Yeah. Well, you did say that.
Yeah.
He doesn't wear crazy clothes. Is that what you're gonna say?
No.
He doesn't get teased and get suspended for a big game against Miami? Right.
Keep in mind, Westbrook didn't play the point at UCLA either. But I think the interesting thing about this Marquette-Murray State matchup here in the region of Sizzle, which is part of the reason why it is the region of Sizzle,
right,
is this. Murray State is a 12 seed, and they've got the best player on the floor. And unless they play Duke, they're always going to have the best player on the floor. You don't always see that.
No, you're right. You're right.
That is interesting.
I remember, and just as a fan of the NBA, I hear guys who, hey, this is going to be a lottery pick. And one guy I hadn't seen much of was a young player named James Harden when he was at Arizona State. Yeah. I was like, man, I'm so excited to see this James Harden in the tournament. And I think, if you'll remember better than I do, he flamed out. Like, he just was very unimpressive. And then he gets drafted in the NBA. We all know what happened. James Harden is one of the best scorers in the NBA. So sometimes I think the NBA fan is excited to see a guy. We see them play one game, and that's not really a good determination of what that guy's going to be at the next level.
No, not at all. I mean, I think, too, and, you know, this is amazing. It goes back to Larry Brown. I remember Larry Brown was the first person ahead of the curve on Westbrook. Because remember, Darren Collison was the point at UCLA. Right. And Mark Turgeon, who was coaching at Texas A&M, the head coach in Maryland now, told me a story that they played UCLA in the round of 32 when he was at A&M. And Coach Brown and he were together at the Final Four, and Coach Brown was saying they're going to move Westbrook on the ball in the NBA, and he's going to be a multi-time All-Star.
Wow.
And Turgeon was like, Coach, he was the two. We couldn't shoot. We didn't guard him. You're out of your mind. And look at what happened.
Yeah, right.
And Collison's had a good career,
He's had a good career, but like,
right. Not Russ.
Russell Westbrook, for, you know, all
intents
and purposes.
Top 5 player in the league.
And when he was a freshman in 2007, they had Aaron Aflalo. He didn't play. He played 8 minutes
right.
a game.
Right.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Who is a under-the-radar guy to keep an eye on? Maybe someone most of us, myself and Joe included, haven't even heard of, but, boy, we're going to know this guy's name by the end of the next couple of weeks.
Great question, Evan. You know, it obviously depends on what transpires. You know, I think some of the guys on Maryland could really shine. Another guy, Reggie Perry on Mississippi State. You know, this guy, I think, you know, could be an All-American next year if he returns to school. Other names that I would, you know, keep an eye on as things progress here. Jaron Cumberland from Cincinnati. You know, one of the things that stuck out to me yesterday was Cincinnati had an unbelievable win against Houston, yesterday in the American Conference tournament. Still got a 7 seed. Right. I thought they should have been a 4 or 5.
Houston's
but
a 3, right?
We were just talking about this with our boss, Mark Chernoff. You know, I think the thing that's interesting is Cincinnati, they didn't get the seed, but they're playing in Columbus.
Yeah, they're playing
so,
yeah,
I mean, think
in
about,
their
you
backyard
you,
pretty
and,
much.
And, you know, I was talking to one of their staff members about this last night. Sometimes, and you guys understand this, when you play a team like Iowa versus playing a mid-major, there's less pressure and you can just play because it's not like, well, if you lose to a team from the Big West or the MAC, everything's going to happen.
You see, by the way, speaking of locations, Coach Cal was a little ticked off about their location. He wanted them to
Well, that's an annual tradition. The brackets come out. Kentucky's not happy with their draw.
Yeah.
It's an annual tradition. He's going to Jacksonville. How is that bad? He's going to Jacksonville.
He wanted to
Kansas
end
City.
Up in Louisville. That's what his hope was.
I understand that.
Speaking of Louisville, you mentioned Richard Pitino going up against his father's old school.
Mm-hmm.
How about that game?
Louisville has beaten one team in the last couple of weeks, Notre Dame twice. They have not been the same, I think, since that Duke loss. Richard Pitino is going to have that team motivated. They're coming off a game against Purdue. I think a guy that could emerge, Mr. Double-Double, Jordan Murphy. Jordan Murphy could be the guy, from Minnesota.
All right, spend a couple of minutes, because I think it's important to do, waxing poetic about the brilliance of Zion Williamson, because he was incredible during the ACC tournament.
He took over the tournament.
We have never had a player in college basketball, and I think, Joe, you would agree with this, you're the oldest one here, that has been...
Older than everybody.
Well, that has been, at least, you know, in the last 20 years, that has been... I don't care what's going on anywhere else. I have to watch this two-hour window.
Right, right.
We've seen great freshmen.
No, yeah.
Durant,
yeah.
Carmelo,
right.
Anthony Davis. He blows all of them away. He didn't play for weeks, and he had 29 and 14.
Didn't miss a shot.
That Duke team, what's the thing, besides injury, that can stop him? What's the thing that could trip him up?
Three-point shooting and a lack of experience.
Well, who's it? I'm assuming that you got Duke Carolina in the final, right?
Phase four.
How good would that be?
Phase
by
four.
By the way.
If that's the national championship.
But that would be.
One of the greats of all time.
Well, yeah, it would be up there.
I get you. Phase
it
four.
It would be up there. It's been a long time. I think the last time we had two in the same conference was 88 when you had Kansas and Oklahoma play against each other. I believe that's
by the
last
way,
time.
You should copyright that and
you
make
should.
A phase four t-shirt
yes.
for the national championship.
That would
copyright.
Be,
I don't know if I have enough time to get all this copyrighted.
You get
done.
It done. Someone listening, copyright it for Rothstein.
So that's right. what you got. You got Carolina. Do,
I've
Carolina
got this. Is what I've got. I got three ACCs because they're heavyweights.
Got
I got
Virginia
Tony
here.
Bennett going getting over
right,
the hump.
Michigan.
I've got Duke. I've got Michigan out right. of the region of Sizzle. I got Carolina out of the region Pace. And this is what I took away from the ACC tournament that wasn't a Duke angle. Carolina was the one team this year at, when Duke was at full strength, other than Gonzaga, that seemed like they were comfortable trading blows for 40 minutes, and they almost won the game. Roy Williams' team has gotten better defensively. They've lost guys two games since they were blown out against Louisville at home earlier this season. Home against Virginia, no shame in that. And a game against Duke that they could have won.
Mm.
And in phase four,
phase
in
four.
Minneapolis,
yeah.
North Carolina over Duke in what could
wow.
be.
You think
okay.
they're going to beat them? So they would beat them three out of four times because two of the wins.
Yeah, Zion didn't play.
Didn't play.
Right. right.
On one game, he got hurt.
And,
that's the game he got hurt.
And again, Ev, you know, this guy's obviously.
Roy Williams gets his fourth.
This guy's obviously on the radar,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, he's not as much on the radar as a guy like John Morant. Kobe White's a projected lottery pick.
Right.
That's a guy over if Carolina goes deep. And look, I look at their draw, and look, they could take on Auburn, which would be a game, you know, first to 150 wins. I look at the draw. And obviously, you have the Carolina-Kentucky potential. I see Carolina smooth sailing to the Elite Eight. I think Gonzaga has the hardest draw in the region of Sizzle because you could have Syracuse, Florida State, Michigan to get to the Final Four.
Yeah.
That's hard.
Yeah, no, it's not.
That's easy. Hard.
Yeah. No, I understand. But you got Carolina winning the whole thing.
Carolina.
Wow.
North Carolina.
How about
John,
that?
When North Carolina
that
gets upset
something.
In the first round, we'll be ripping you.
I tell you right. what, Carolina Duke, though, that would be some national
oh,
championship.
That'd be awesome.
Maybe I mean, the rating would be off the charts.
Oh, my God. Yeah. In the national championship.
No, I'm yeah. saying. Yeah. It would be beyond.
That would be sexy. I mean, I can't
that
stand both of the
good.
Teams, but it would be very appealing.
Well,
right.
I mean, just think about
it.
And look,
game.
We don't know what's going to happen, but if you could get Duke, Michigan, B-line against K, B-line has a 1-1. Then you get Virginia,
right.
Carolina. The
Michigan's been in the finals.
The contrast in styles.
Final game like twice in yeah. the last couple of years.
Yeah. And I will say this too. Virginia losing might have been a major positive for them because it's taking the attention away from them. You haven't heard as much about Virginia since they lost to Florida State.
You think
State.
It takes the attention away from them?
What I'm saying is people are talking about Duke.
Oh.
They're talking about Carolina.
Right,
they're talking
right.
about
right,
White right. one in Tennessee, you know. Finish against Auburn. Why is Michigan State seeded where they are? Virginia, after losing to Florida State, doesn't have the same level of attention. Now, there's attention on them.
Yeah, once
but
they're
not
down by
pronounced.
10 to Gardner-Webb, there'll be tons
well,
of attention
gonna be, yeah,
on them.
You got
to
win that game.
No.
They really do.
No, of course.
They're going to win that game.
No, I agree. I think they're going to make a big run. I'm with
yeah,
you.
I'm with you on that.
Yep.
John, we will talk to you Friday.
John,
I always appreciate it.
11 o'clock. Thank you.
Go get some sleep, huh?
Bye.
John Ross.
No sleep this month. I sleep in May.
You sleep in May.
That's right.
Oh, okay. Like the rest of April, what are you doing? You'll be projecting next year. But you got that already.
That's already done. We just got to make tweaks
along
the way.
Well, what I want you doing in May, I guess you could do it now, is you got to figure out a guy who's going to go about 15 or 16 in the draft who's a perfect stretch four. All right? That's your assignment. That's what I want you to identify for me.
He's probably got a guy right now.
Yeah, you got a guy?
Stretch four. I'm not on the draft stuff yet.
All right.
I'm trying to get through today.
All right. Thank you, John. I'm not on the draft stuff either. I got to worry about making the playoffs,
yeah.
All right? Joe's got to worry about a lottery.
Yeah. Nice. Well, my team's not getting Zion Williamson.
But you never.
I'm confident.
All right. You never know.
It's the Knicks.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade. In when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.